Hello, my fabulous radio listeners, and welcome to another episode of Sex Talk. I'm your host, DJ...
Epileptic?
DJ Epileptic. You know, Dr. Sexopolis, I have to say that even though we've been together only a few weeks, it already feels like a lifetime. I feel like we're finishing each other's sentences, and it's a good thing, too. I want to apologize to our listeners for starting late. I was actually in a meeting of the Trilateral Commission, who's meeting downtown at the Wyndham. And
why wasn't I invited? You invited me to the Zionist conspiracy meeting last week. Did I say something wrong?
No, you keep getting this confused. You keep getting your
membership. It was the bacon egg McMuffins that I brought, wasn't it?
You keep getting
those
your...
Those didn't go over well.
You don't have a membership in the Trilateral Commission. You're in the Bisexual Commission. That's...
Oh, geez, yeah. I'd much rather be in the Trisexual Commission.
Tonight we have an...
I'll try anything. Sorry.
Tonight we have an extremely special show for you tonight. We had, how can I say this in a nice way? A couple of guests that stiffed us.
Mm-hmm.
we're going to do something a little different tonight, something a little unusual, something a little special. I hope you call in, and I hope you participate with us. Tonight is going to be viewer mail night, mm-hmm. a discussion of current events, and, of course, my own powerfully arousing stories from my own
psychosexual drama. That is DJ Epileptic.
So I think before we get started, actually, I was going to say tonight's show is sponsored by Fatheads in the South Side. They actually haven't actually literally sponsored us, but I just want them to understand what a valuable spot this would be. Wouldn't it be delicious right now, DJ Sexopolis, to go have a delicious Fatheads cheeseburger from Fatheads in the South Side?
So what are they going to offer us as payola, that is?
Oh.
I mean the usual, the Coke and the hookers, or are we going to get free pizza on the show?
Well, gee, that's a good question. I was hoping that I'd be able to blow the busboys.
Okay. Except for this time, you won't have to pay them $5. That's right.
So
much cleaner here than in the Fatheads bathrooms.
Indeed. So, I want to also, as another sort of programmatic note, I want to welcome all the pre-college kids to campus. If you're listening for some reason, I guess they have to be listening. They're all on curfew, right? They can't actually be out of doors after 11.
Locked in their stalls, cells.
By all means, listen to the show, which I guess you already are. Call in 621-9728 with your questions, comments, and concerns. And also,
we promise not to mock your fumbling adolescence sexual problems that you bring to us. Well, okay, a little.
I mean, do you think, I mean, how old, I never had sex in high school or college. I mean, like, how old is the average person before they have sex?
Right? I don't know. I've never actually read any statistics on that. I mean, actually, I have. I remember reading something about it. No, like in Kinsey Report stuff, but that was the mid-50s when he was gathering that data, right? So it's probably outdated by now. I mean, kids are probably losing their virginity at like 6.
That's like when the Fonzie, you know, lost. Can the statistics of when the Fonz lost his virginity have any relevance to us? Oops.
Ah, the famous Henry Winkler, Jr., a Yale graduate, I might add.
Really?
Well, drama school.
I did not know that. I recently saw Henry on ABC's The Practice. ABC is another one of our our sponsors. Our pseudo-sponsors. That's not going right.
No. So how old were you when you lost your virginity? Well, DJ Epileptic.
That's an interesting story. I'm so glad you asked. What's unique about my personality is that my first sexual encounter with another person.
Not including yourself.
Not including myself. And not including immediate family.
Or Jesus.
Was when I was 15, which is pretty good.
Wow, that is.
But my second encounter with a different person, I mean, I had numerous encounters with this person. And what you're supposed to say was, at this point, is why are you saying person?
Why are you leaving that ambiguous? It's mysterious, DJ Epileptic. I'm curious.
Because it was curious. It was It was male-to-male contact. It was like another friend of mine, a male friend.
A precursor of things to come, as it were.
But my second sexual contact didn't come until I was 25. Full decade later. I mean, you know, it's a full like doubling of the S&P 500 index before.
that's an important decade too, psychosexually speaking.
And you know, actually, it was interesting and well, it was sort of interesting and traumatic sort of simultaneously because.
As all early sexual experiences
well,
are.
Yeah, I think sort of you could stamp almost every event in my life with that. I'm sorry.
Graduate school hasn't been interesting, though. But it's made up for a trauma. And ready access to porn.
Well, I don't know if I should thank graduate school or the internet. I mean, it is nice that Carnegie Mellon has, like, a fat pipe feeding porn to my workstation on a daily basis. I mean, 45 megabits of raw, you know, porn power is pretty good.
Wow. Are you still using Chester?
Yes.
The amusingly named porn harvesting program. I was told about the famous flickering monitor of porn in your office by the now deceased DJ Lance.
Well, that's gone now. But I actually did have, as a performance enhancer, I had a porn slideshow going on one of my computer monitors while I was working.
Now, is this keyed in somehow to your keystrokes or the number of classes you would define in C in order to, like, reward you?
Well, that might work better, actually. It was actually just connected to a sphincter clench sensor. But anyway, back to my life.
Back to your right.
Who's stroking out there?
Call in and tell us.
So
tell us, this 25-year-old sexual encounter, was that with a person of the male persuasion or a person of the female persuasion?
I mean, the thing is...
So have you been pretty, like, homonormative with your sexual encounters then?
I guess so. I mean, in the sense that I've never actually had sex with a woman ever.
I mean... Is that unusual? Like, I...
For most heterosexuals?
Well, no. Like, other gay men and women I've met have almost universally experimented with heterosexuality, it seems, first. Just because, well, that's kind of expected, right? And when you're 16, you're not exactly known for independent thinking. But,
I guess
answer my own question.
Well, it's hard to say. I mean, I might actually be consistent with that because... remember there was this dead period. Heterosexual sex could have happened if nothing weren't happening.
I suppose you were as effectively heterosexual as I was for most of those years.
See, what was wrong with you? Were you in the Ebola ward that whole time? I mean, like what, you know, obviously now you're sort of powerfully attractive. Although I told myself I would stop saying that because
it's poetry.
But you know, were you like, ugly then, or
I don't know. Slim? I don't know. I lost my virginity my freshman year of college.
Really?
Didn't have sex again until my junior year, when I had some random awkward fumblings in the dark, but didn't really start to date. All that, what's the word? Successfully until like I was 24 or so, until I was entering graduate school. Where, of course, the sex gets a lot better.
Oh, yeah. Well, it's just because you're...
So I was a nerd, right?
Typing fingers are so much stronger.
I mean, I was a big-time nerd, and I went to a college where dating was considered... was called the, quote, sixth course, because we took five courses a semester. And so with an attitude like that, right off the bat, you realize there's not going to be much nookie flying around.
Well, what about the whole gay thing? I mean, Yale was totally gay, right? I mean,
1 in 4, maybe more.
Right, exactly. I mean, did you feel pressured to, like, have gay sex with the CFA kids?
Only with the professors, but, you know, that was fairly normal. And they always carried through on their promises for the A's, at least.
So, back to me just briefly.
All back to your selfish needs, yes.
I mean, the observation I wanted to make was, I think this early sexual encounter kind of tainted me because it was with a friend. It was somebody that I...
Not a scoutmaster.
No, maybe it was because of my, you know, guardian angel or Cthulhu or whatever. Somebody was, like, watching over me. You know, there were a couple of close calls. Like, I remember, my mother was a hairdresser, a beautician, whatever they're called, right? Mm-hmm. And one of her – she was talking with one of her clients about weightlifting. I had a budding interest in fitness. And all of a sudden, this guy calls me and he's like –
weightlifting magazines under the bed, right?
Yeah, well, but she, little did she know, she was getting me interested in totally the wrong thing, right? But So all of a sudden, one of her clients calls me at home, and he's like, "Oh, I hear you're interested in working out.
So do you like gladiator movies?"
I mean, it was just like that. He's like, "You want to, you know, come over sometime, and I'll show you some stuff, or you know, we'll go
oil
to
you
the
up.
Gym and you know, get you
shave each other's
it was,
butts."
It was this exactly. It was this, you know, it was this total gay sort of pedophile fantasy. But somehow,
was
like,
he cute?
I don't know. This all happened on the phone, and you know. Then I had a harder time masking my revulsion for other humans. I mean, now
it's second nature.
Indeed, you know, now that I've accommodated a little bit more, it's well. The point is that I was just like, dude, what is your deal? Why are you calling me? And
right.
I just kind of gave him like the massive brush off. I mean, maybe kids. I think kids at an instinctive level can sense pedophilia.
Yeah, kids certainly aren't dumb as adults would like to think they are, or mm-hmm. think they are. Especially when it comes to sexual matters, I think kids are, from puberty onwards, are pretty damn aware of sexual context. Now, whether they have the emotional equipment to handle it—that's a different question, right? But certainly awareness. And so, if you were creeped out by, you know, Mr. McFeely calling you up and asking you if you want to come over and wax his ass, oh, hopefully that doesn't get leaked.
You can say wax his ass in the air, can't you?
Good. I'm not so sure of these touchy FCC guys. For example, I was surprised to find out last week that if we actually are naked, we're not allowed to say we're naked on the air. But if we aren't, we are.
So we're not, is that right? So we're not naked now and we can say that we are.
We are naked and that's perfectly legal. However, if we are to get stroking naked, then the jig would be up. The FCC would be in here. Like the, I don't know.
Like yesterday's for Holies. So we had a wow. I wonder if Oprah's ever had days like this. I guess it's, the show's taped, and so
yeah, so it's all edited out. So she gets home and she just goes home and beats the crap out of Stedman.
So,
but I don't think this is a bad show, right? I think our viewers have an incessant hunger and need to find out more about the enigma that is.
DJ
Epileptic.
Indeed. And they should be calling in because this is the time that that I'm on the hot seat here. You can call me 621-9728 and ask anything.
In a sense, this is a very special episode of Sex Talk. You can find all about DJ Epileptic.
So there I am, 15 years old. My friend, we're working at the Marin Computer Center in Marin County, California.
I didn't realize you were from the Bay Area.
Oh, of course. Well... Not, I mean, after my parents broke up, we moved to the Bay Area. Mm-hmm. We were originally from Tracy, California.
Wow. I went to a wedding once in Tracy.
Really?
There's a lot of Portuguese people in Tracy.
I think that's right.
It's a big deal there. It was a huge Portuguese-Italian wedding. Great food.
There's this... well,
dull city.
Dull?
Tracy.
I guess so. I mean, there's not much to do there other than sort of farm and...
Have sex with farm animals.
Commit sodomy, right?
So, two of your favorite activities.
So, except for the farming.
Fair enough.
The Marin Computer Center. See, this is the old days before, like, everybody had a computer. This is when computers were sort of expensive. This was, like, a place you could go and rent time on a computer.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, they had a bunch of dorky teenagers who were their staff members. And I was one of the dorky teenagers, and I befriended their staff members, blah, blah, blah. Anyway.
Did you have a Well account early on?
Yes, I did.
You were a hip geek like
that. So well, yeah.
Anyway.
So, you know, I sort of befriended my geeky computer friends, and then, like, most of them were gay somehow. Like, it was weird. And one of them took a shine to me, and he was like, I was kind of naive, but I guess this was part of his devious plan. We were spending a lot of time together. He would, like, sleep over certain nights, and et cetera, et cetera. And then one night he was like, you know.
How do I look in these assless chaps?
Well, they weren't assless chaps. They were actually, it was a fluffy bunny costume.
Ah, he was a plushie.
So actually, he was remarkably straightforward, and it's a model that I would like to follow in my own life. He just said, you know, I've been having feelings for you,
mm-hmm.
and I was wondering if you were feeling the same way. So let me
That's
try that.
Vague yet to the point.
Dr. Sexopolis, I've been having feelings for you. And I was wondering if you were having the same feelings for me.
Well, I think we should keep our relationship on a strictly professional level right now. We wouldn't want any feelings to get in the way of the radio professionalism that we try so hard to
I was going to say the red-hot dynamic, but maybe that would be going too far.
Well, just, you know, I think Howard Stern could be a lesson to us all, right? Because part of his big dynamic was this unfulfillable sexual tension between himself and the porn actresses.
Mm.
But now that he's divorced, there's concern. Or
he's divorced? Where have I been?
Yeah, divorced months ago.
Holy.
There was a concern. I don't know if people are still concerned that that dynamic will be lost, right? Because if Jenna Jameson comes in naked and nuzzles him now, well, nothing's stopping him from getting fist deep in that, as it were.
Wow.
Anyway.
So has that – what's the result
of I don't know. My source for Howard Stern info was Lance, but now that he's been put on the scrap heap of history, I'll have to turn elsewhere.
Are we recording this?
Is this being broadcast?
And it was actually really weird because – I mean,
how did you respond to that question?
Well,
it must have been incredibly awkward.
It was actually – I mean, it was actually not awkward. It was just confusing. I was actually the funny thing about it is, like, I thought about it for a really long time, and I was just a weird kid anyway. And
really?
And I was just a weird person, and I was not, like, very much in touch with my emotions. I think the key is that I never really thought that I was sort of entitled to sex. I mean, I masturbated a lot, but it never even occurred to me that I might pursue sex with another person or that they might find me attractive enough to have sex with for whatever reason. I just thought I was exempt from that whole scene somehow. And so, I mean, for some reason, I just didn't think that was something that was I was a part of. So it never even occurred to me to try. I mean, I wasn't even depressed about it. I was just like, well, I guess this is something that other people do. But
right.
So I actually thought about it for a long time, and then I was like, I actually said, but doesn't the Bible say that this is wrong? Which you made me laugh.
I do.
I like that because I was actually – I mean, it was – I actually
– You don't strike me as the Bible-thumping type, which
I went through a phase, a Christian – sort of unfortunately, I went through a phase which I consider and I'm sure I'll enrage your callers by saying this – sort of the least intellectual form of religion, which is kind of – born again, sort of evangelical Christianity. I mean, there's lots of other religions which are very sort of, they've got this long history and they do all the studying and there's all this they're.
Like the Scientologists.
For example, the Scientologists, exactly. There's all this stuff you have to learn and figure out. Whereas, as far as I can tell, with the group I was in at least, it was all about sort of
handling snakes, rolling on the ground, speaking in tongues.
Well, playing guitars and not having anal sex with same sex partners. I mean, that was kind of...
That's not a bad religion, actually. I mean, as far as religions go, if those are the only two demands.
Right, but I was looking for something deeper, I guess. I was looking for a relationship.
The anal sex, right.
So you
said, the Bible won't let me.
Yeah, and then he was like, okay, whatever. And then I sat there thinking about it for a much longer time. And then I'm like, oh, well. And then, literally after 10 minutes later, I'm like, okay. And I actually woke him up when I said that because he had, given up and fallen asleep. It was a sleepover type thing.
Right.
And then we had sex, and it was really weird.
Yeah, I would imagine so.
Because I didn't really know what to do. I was pretty passive, I guess. I didn't really know what to do, and it was kind of like mutual masturbation, I guess. Mm-hmm. There was no sort of kissing, no fondling, none of that sort of foreplay and the kind of groping, the steadily increasing kind of intensity that goes along with my usual sexual encounters.
But, you were 15-year-old boys, right? If there's one type of person on earth that does not need or even desire foreplay, it's a 15-year-old boy.
Well, yes and no, although it was unfortunate, but the experience was not remarkably more interesting than masturbation. I was like, that was okay, but it was kind of lame. I mean, I don't get why people are so interested in sex with another person.
But this continued, right, this relationship, as it were.
Yeah, but again, only because he wanted it to, and we were just kind of secretly having sex periodically, and I was just kind of going along with it. But the thing that actually kind of creeped me out too was that I didn't like the sort of secretive aspect of it. We were always making excuses to go off somewhere and goof around.
That would make it more dangerous, more exciting.
We're in magic inverto world where every normal human reaction does not hold in my case. And so I eventually got sort of sick of, like, lying to everybody and just sort of hiding it. And I guess there was some kind of guilt thing going on, too, because the idea at the time was pretty repellent to my parents and sort of...
Were your parents very devout? Is that where you...
No, well, Christian meme? You know, it's funny, but my father is Catholic, and he sort of got all of the guilt and none of the sort of spirituality out of that, which was sort of his deal. And my mother was kind of a wreck. I mean, she's kind of a, you know, technically born a Lutheran, but kind of sort of skipped around but among religions and finally kind of got sort of some mishmash of California New Age spirituality. And in this kind of, like, you know, fuzzy, like, you know...
Energies and crystals.
Precisely. Energies, crystals, herbs, and, you know, sort of non-judgmentalism. This kind of, like, if it works for you, it's okay kind of thing. Which is actually a sort of unexamined non-judgmentalism, because it doesn't actually extend to, you know, homosexuality or...
Right.
Or... you know, God, or I was going to say, God help you if your child gets, you know, 5 pounds overweight. No, which is actually, the two things that really bother her are, at the time at least, were...
gays and fatties? That doesn't sound very non-judgmental to me.
Precisely. Well, I mean, she wanted to, you know, it's, I mean, I don't, you know, I shouldn't have mentioned the word mother. Let's just imagine I was talking about someone's mother and not my own mother.
Right.
Because I don't want to make this personal. But she was on a kick for her. I mean, it was just, I think at some level she was really concerned about appearances.
Mm-hmm.
And both of those things stem from the same basic issue.
I can see that.
What are the, are other people going to consider my children talented and beautiful? And,
right.
And both of those, well, you know... Being fat or...
Alexander the Great was gay. No one can deny that he wasn't talented. Maybe you should have thrown that in front of
him. Right, I mean, you know, I mean, Americans know today that if there's one thing gays have, it's talent. If it's only talent for polishing the knob of some some trucker that's in for the... But it was just, you know, from our relatively bucolic, is that the word I want?
Sure.
Background... that kind of thing would be sort of frowned upon. So anyway, but so the thing that tainted me about this initial experience with my little friend was that I just kind of waited for it to happen again. I decided in retrospect that, you know, I was probably gay, although it took me like probably 3 or 4 years to actually even before I was even able to internally verbalize that word. You know, I acknowledged that I had all these masturbatory fantasies about men, and I was buying, like, you know, Teen Beat and you know, thinking about how I wanted C. Thomas Howell to be my boyfriend. So, see, nobody knows who C. Thomas Howell is today, but, I mean, he was, like, you know...
Unfortunately, Lance would know, but I don't. I'm pop trivia ignorant.
He was... I mean, he's kind of a sci-fi channel in USA Network. Nobody these days. But at the time, he was going to be the next Tom Cruise, and he was big.
With a name like C. Thomas Howell, we're doomed.
I guess you're ending up with all the roles that M. Emmett Walsh gets, right?
Right. Like, think of somebody else famous with just an initial for a first name. It's not going to work. And also, he's saddled with the last name that's inextricably linked with old, smelly people from Gilligan's Island, right? It's hard to get away from.
Well, it's actually kind of surprising. I mean, all these actors get, you know, all this incredible training to actually pick the exact right screen name. Like, for example, Jonathan Taylor Thomas, you immediately think sexy, arousing, looks great in Speedos.
Okay.
But his real name is Jonathan Taylor Weiss. And you immediately think, you know, concentration camps.
Like William Shatner, who not only is Canadian, but is Jewish. And Shatner sure isn't a Jewish name. I'm not sure what his real name is. Yes, what his given name was.
It's wow.
I'm sure one
sort
of our eager listeners
to hand out that tasty morsel, actually, and not be able to deliver the punchline because that's intriguing. But I'm sorry.
But he has actually. I learned about this only recently because he has a screenplay called something like something Shiva, and basically the idea came to him when he was like holding Shiva for his wife, the one who drowned in the pool. It's like, wow, Shatner, Canadian Jew. I had no idea.
I hadn't either. Well, as you
I wonder if that's like secret Canadian fighting, the two-fisted punch thing. Anyway, that's a digression. Nothing to do with sex at all.
You're referring, for our listeners that didn't get the visual there, of Chetner's trademark way of fighting
aliens.
Aliens, which is to put both hands together.
The two-fisted punch, right? Wow. Sorry, that was way too nerdy, wasn't it?
621-9728. Save us, save yourselves.
I know you're out there. I can hear you breathing.
Am I bothering you? When I talk with my fingers in my mouth, does it affect my radio presence?
No, it makes it sound somewhat sexual, right? You never, the listeners don't know exactly what's going in there.
So this kind of thing. So there I was. And actually, so does anybody care? Is this thing on? Does anybody care?
I care. Okay. I care deeply.
Okay. So I guess the next real phase, I mean, I went through.
I want to get to, like, the ass-slapping, come-flying, hardcore 70s action. When does this happen?
Well, so that's the question. I mean, do we want to just get to the punchline, or do you want to, like, go through all the painful? I mean, I think it would be more helpful to our listeners to listen to all the painful intermediate areas of my life.
Is this radio show or is this therapy? I think our listeners want entertainment.
Okay.
Or infotainment. But
so
sure.
I should get to the ass slapping. Well, I was going to say, I mean, so the thing that, okay, I'll get to the ass slapping quickly, but the thing is that, you know, in high school, I was a little bit gayer. Like, I had crushes on all the hotties, but I still never told anybody or did anything about it. In college, I was even gayer.
Right. I remember you discussing that a couple shows ago, the long emotional talks on the steps holding hands with men.
Right, but I was still, it was like, you know, pre-college kids, if you're going to learn anything from my tragic example, if you're having gay feelings, like, act on them now. For God's sake, don't waste these special years because, you know, these are the years when all your friends are experimenting. These are the years when, like, you know, it's totally cool to be bi.
Especially in college, right? That's
And everyone's, like, this is before everyone's going to get, like, you know, they're going to go become analysts at Merrill Lynch and get fat.
Right.
I mean, this is, you've got all this
prime,
like,
hot years.
Hot college ass that you need to, like,
get in there like swimwear.
So please, for, you know, don't make the same mistake I did.
Yeah, it seems like college is this great efflorescence of bisexuality because it's hip and experimental and, you know, anti-establishment.
Precisely.
In fact, we even had a term for women. I guess that wasn't an equivalent one for men as undergrads. It was the LUGs, the lesbians until graduation. It was women who were – lesbians were basically, women-exclusive bisexuals, but only as long as it was hip. And once I graduated, well, then it was time to put on the power suits and get married.
Yeah, that's probably insulting.
Yeah, that's probably pretty bitter, wasn't it? But, you know, I didn't really date much in college, so that came right out. But it was true. It was true.
Yeah.
The stereotype may be vicious, but there is a kernel of truth in there.
Indeed. And so, you know,
I'm coming out like the blackhead in this conversation now. You're the sensitive man.
Yeah, exactly. Well,
and here I am bashing women.
Showing your true colors. I am woman's greatest ally.
Yeah.
So.
Now I'm feeling pretty bad. Anyway, back to your psychodrama.
Where was it? So, certainly in college, you know, it was funny because I went – I decided – I almost made it out. It's so tragic. My life is so tragic. Like, freshman year, I went to a one meeting of the, you know, what is now like an alphabet soup of letters, the BGLSTA,
right.
Gay, bisexual, lesbian, transgender, transsexual, whatever group. And I don't know. I was so nervous there and so freaked out, and I didn't quite – hit it off with anybody that I, like, stayed away for the next 3 years. It was like, I mean, you know.
Was it the politics? Was it too?
I don't. It was just like
you?
It was just. It was all internal, like, lameness. I was just like, I'm feeling really nervous here. No one's being. No one is, like, come forward to take me under their wing and make this all kind of comfortable for
right.
me. And I was just sort of being socially awkward. And so I left and didn't come back. I mean, I just didn't recognize. Just sort of like anything, walking into a strange party where you don't know
right.
anybody, you have to be sort of cool about.
But you think of all places, right? Like the Alphabet Soup, Gay Lesbian Association would at least have the wits about them to comfort
right.
a newcomer.
Exactly, I think
a tender young thing like yourself.
Indeed, I agree with you. Although it's kind of like the blind leading the blind. Sometimes, I mean, you know, it's not like they're necessarily. I mean, you need sort of a charismatic leader to be like, "Oh, we've got a phone call."
Oh, right. Someone to save us.
Hello, caller.
Yes, hello.
Thank you for calling. Did you have a question, comment, concern, or some sort of pithy comment?
Well, I have a question. So, I live in Los Angeles now.
Oh.
Wow.
And
calling all the way from L.A.?
Yes. Well, I mean, you know, the fans of the show are go all over.
Excellent.
So, wait, I have to get my
big fan diaspora spreading across the world.
I have to get my assistant to like upgrade our number of known listeners to 4. Holy cow!
It's the miracle of this newfangled intranet thing.
I think it's the power of my homosexuality is bringing people together all over the world.
So, Los Angeles caller.
Yes.
What's your?
Oh, so my question is, so, you know, my whole life I grew up in the Midwest, right, small town. I grew up hearing that.
Is this Garrison Keillor?
Well, wait till I finish my question, and then you judge whether I'm Garrison Keillor. And so I've heard my whole life that the porn industry is based in the Los Angeles area.
Mm, so have
and,
we.
You know, I don't want to participate in it, but I certainly want to be a spectator. And I'm having trouble figuring out where it is, where I should, like, you know, what, you know, Taco Bells I should hang out in, you know, in hopes of meeting.
Fascinating. Okay, I have a question first. Which porn industry? Straight? Gay? The animal porn? Give us a subclass.
Well, I mean, I guess I'd have to rank it straight, animal, gay in terms of my preferences.
But. Does that include hot lesbian action? See, there's that blurring between straight and gay there, isn't
Well, it
there?
Depends on the kind of hot lesbian action, right? Mm. If we're talking like...
Andrea Dworkin?
Yeah, Andrea Dworkin lesbian action, that's below... I mean, that's in the gay category if we're talking, you know, I don't know, like...
Divine and Jenna Jameson in a double-headed dildo.
Like, you know, teenage slumber party lesbian action, right?
Wow. Even I could get into that.
Well, you had teenage slumber party gay action. Wow, are you suddenly... In a restaurant? It's gotten much noisier.
No, I'm not in a restaurant.
Okay. So anyway, unfortunately, very, very unfortunately, I can't speak from personal experience, but I've always assumed it was the San Fernando Valley, which kind of sticks semi-erect penis-like to the northwest up out of L.A. This big expanse of strip malls and...
That's where all the porn happens?
The bright lights of the porn industry, yeah. That's what I understood because, it, you know, it's close enough to the huge, pulsing silicone factories of L.A., that can produce the stars, but yet far enough away that the rent is lower.
Can I interject something to your mellifluous
exegesis?
And that's, I'm thinking the Adult Video Awards ceremonies that they
Las
have
Vegas.
Every year.
Unfortunately, they're in Las Vegas.
But they're all from L.A., right? I mean, couldn't
yeah.
you go there, hobnob, and say, wow, I live in Topanga Canyon or whatever.
Are you suggesting that I follow the cars back to L.A.?
That's an excellent idea with, like, a digital camera and a notebook.
No, you – what? You meet people. You exchange business cards. You're like, hey, let's get together and have a frappuccino.
The Adult Video Festival is until, what, like, later this year probably. So what's he going to do until then?
Well, I'm going to Las Vegas in 2 weeks, so if it's happening in 2 weeks, I'm all set.
Oh, right. I'm sure the internet could tell you.
See, my problem with this is that you want it to be too convenient. I think you have to do a little bit of research. Actually, the real answer is I have no clue. Okay, I don't have the foggiest idea.
This is research. I'm, you know, like, I'm calling.
Oh, okay. I mean, if it were me, I would just go to West Hollywood and, like, hang out at the cafes and flirt with waiters and then, like, have sex with everyone. And then eventually get invited to some party where, like...
Well, that's the ideal route.
Yeah. Ryan Felipe might be.
Or maybe you could invent some kind of silicone detector and just follow the, you know, the... What's the word I'm looking for? The isosilicone lines. I'm not sure. Oh, you could go to the beach, look for women who are conspicuously fake, and follow them
they're
home.
They're all that way. But they're all actresses and models. You're not going to get to porn that way. You're going to get to, like... Hollywood extra, you know, people who are like extras on Wonder Boys or...
Well, maybe,
you know.
but I mean, I think, you know, even my short time here, I think I've realized that there's sort of tasteful and attractive fake breasts, and then there's, you know, porn star attention getting fake breasts.
That you can bounce a baseball off of, yeah. Yes, absolutely.
Actually, now that since you're both here and you're both straight men, I'm going to ask you an unrelated question, which is, what's this whole breast thing all about anyway? Like... I mean,
hey, let me ask you a question. Why do rich people live in the hills and mountains around L.A.?
Oh, this sounds like the beginning of a joke.
Because
it's supposed to be a self-evident conclusion.
Because the hills are pretty.
Because they're above the smog layer. No.
See, both of those answers go. I mean, put those together, and that's your answer for the breast question.
So there's some layer of petrochemical smog at a woman's belly, is what you're telling us.
Yes, that and, like, the elevation of the breast gets you away from it, right?
Wow. I had no idea. I guess I've just been dating very clean women who haven't had this.
I mean, petrochemical may not be the precise term.
You know, this...
Some chestular miasma.
Am I the only person, like, in this room that doesn't hate women, I mean, at some fundamental level? I mean, I know it's insulting, isn't it? I am, as I said before, woman's
greatest. How is that hateful?
I am woman's greatest ally. Well, what are you talking about? You're talking about the her breasts being hills that prevent you from this, you know, the smog or the smelly region, which is obviously referring to her vagina.
Actually, no, I was just making crap up.
Actually, I was as well, and only later did it sort of coalesce into this very offensive.
Well, then,
yeah, that really was totally unintentional.
Well, then you have your own unconscious to blame, don't you?
Damn you, Professor Jung. But to answer the breast question, can you explain to us why testicles fascinate you? Why?
But they don't.
A nice pair of pecs fascinate you?
Well, I understand.
A shaved butt.
No. So I understand, like, breasts as a feature just fine. I mean, you know, the woman responds to them. They're very erogenous, blah, blah, blah. You like squeezing them and kneading them or whatever. You know, great. Sure. But, like, these freakish kind of people who are mostly in Las Vegas, I guess, with the basketball-sized breasts, that must be – why isn't that ugly to you?
Like, well,
why
that someone, sort of
to me personally, it is, right?
That's sort of a fringe market.
Yes.
Okay.
Same – kind of think of it as the same kind of market as, like, the Life in the Fat Man videos, right?
I guess, but still, I mean, like, there are people who I won't mention specifically in my own family who've had breast augmentation.
Oh, really?
Who apparently had modest breasts and wanted them to be a little bit perker. I mean, like, and millions of Americans as well have these, you know, silicone implants.
Yes.
Is this your dad?
He had the calf and ass implants.
No, well, I mean, I was going to say, because the breast implants would explain his recurring spine problems.
My dad and
it was just a joke.
Okay.
I apologize as a mere caller for taking such liberties with your family. DJ 2000.
DJ Epilepsy tonight.
DJ Epilepsy, okay, sorry.
Just to further the offensiveness of this whole show.
Wow.
Which can all be heaped on my back. I didn't realize I was such a walking pile.
How else have you offended the nation?
Racism, sexism, speciesism, diseasism.
Well,
it's just been talking about Ebola, like spreading Ebola throughout South America again, is he?
Yeah. In my army of Nazi monkey soldiers.
And I only recently convinced DJ Sexopoulos here to break up with the God's army. You know, he's hanging out with Luther and Luther 2.
Man, did they have some good coke.
Who's Luther 2?
Luther and Johnny 2, the leaders of God's army in Indonesia.
Oh, they're like 14-year-olds.
Yeah. Man, were those great parties. The duel of vaginal and anal penetration with Sister Sledge one night, that was got to rank up there with the all-time great party scenes I've ever been at. Sorry.
I trust you have it on film then. Or is that one of the rules of God's army that nothing may be recorded?
Yeah, unfortunately, no. They wouldn't let cameras into the club.
You know, I'm just having an epiphany here. I'm sorry to interrupt you know, this repartee here, but I just recognize the caller's voice. You're renowned super hacker Kevin Mitnick, aren't you?
Wow.
Would that were true.
Well, hopefully he wouldn't be, right? Because in order to hear this broadcast from L.A., he would have to be using a computer. Which Kevin Mitnick is legally not allowed to do.
So, Kevin, are you in violation of the terms of your parole? Is this your way of slapping it to the man?
Well, like I said, my name is actually Karen Mitnick. And my parole is much less restricted.
Actually, I just learned it was breaking news just today, I think, or was it yesterday? He went to a parole hearing. We're getting some kind of freakish crosstalk here, producer. That he is – see, the thing is, Kevin, and I'm actually very sympathetic to the plight of Kevin Mitnick. He has been trying to get permission from his parole officer to give speeches at various places.
Right.
Including – and there's an invitation from Carnegie Mellon itself.
Wow.
Which I actually initiated.
That would be great.
How come you haven't invited me to speak? My parole allows me to speak to groups of up to 5 people at a time.
Well, what are you wearing? But the point is, he's like, the parole officers apparently have quite a, or the parole system, the parole department has quite a bit of leeway. You know, people, once they're out of prison, they still don't quite have all the total, like, constitutional protections that the rest of us have. So
as long as they're on parole, that's correct.
His freedom to... You know, he's got all these restrictive conditions about touching computers and making money even using his skills as computers, but they're not
is
even...
Is it that he can't touch them at all, or just that he can't touch them in...
He can't use them.
...sexual ways.
I'm not
sure. Is there any non-sexual way to touch a computer? I mean, really. I don't think
so. Well, it depends on what sort of S&M freak you are, but, like, hitting it with a sledgehammer might count.
But anyway, all this stuff was denied. We wanted him to give a speech here at Carnegie Mellon on sort of his experiences with the criminal justice system and on the collision between technology, privacy, and civil rights that we're seeing in various ways. And that was denied. And I think the decision that came out today is that he has to stay within a 7-county area.
I guess that's not unusual for parolees, right, to have to stay.
Well, one of the counties was my ass, and so I think that was kind of unusual.
I didn't know your ass had finally gotten big enough to get its own county.
It's got its own zip code. If you want to write to my ass, you can just write to DJ2000's ass.
At 5000 Forbes Avenue, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania.
Does it have one of the full, like, does it just have a 5-digit zip code, or does it have the zip plus 4 zip code?
Well, if you use the plus 4, it actually I mean,
we've measured out carefully a grid, a 100 by 100 grid,
okay,
on
the different zip plus 4 address for each little.
Right. So my sphincter actually is
0000.
Yeah, just
the plus 4 for the sphincter and, like, cut out all this other wasted flesh.
So
did we answer your question about breasts, by the way?
I mean,
once we got through the misogyny and the.
I just think, again, it's one of the things that's hardwired. We're hardwired as a combination of genetic and cultural influence into men to right?
I totally get the breast thing, like I said, but it's just the freakish breast thing. And, is really, Gwyneth Paltrow-style flat breast, is that really unattractive to you, or shouldn't that
not
just be fine?
No, not at all. Gwyneth Paltrow's very – Gwyneth Paltrow.
Personally, I prefer smaller breasts.
Really?
So, yes.
So, but that's because you're secretly homosexual.
Well, friends of mine
say tomato. He says tomato, right?
Friends of mine have joked that I tend to like women who look like 16-year-old boys with breasts. Take of that what you may. Make of that what you may.
So,
I had a follow-up part to my first question.
Okay. So?
Which is, once I locate these porn stars.
Yes.
How do I talk to them? Like, what do I mean? I always get tongue-tied.
Well, you try this tack. Say to them, "I have Coke."
But I don't have Coke. I mean, and then do I say, "Ha ha, it's Coca-Cola"?
Well, you didn't ask. You had to set up a meaningful relationship with them, right? Just how to talk to them. That'll certainly start the conversation.
But I want to get in. I want to get into that social circle.
Oh, okay. You can tell them you're a producer.
Again, I mean, are you sure lying to them is the best approach? At least lying easily verifiable lies.
I don't know how easily verifiable that is. I mean, how do they know you're not a producer?
I mean, you could be well into the shoot before they realize that you're
exactly
porn star.
That's true.
into the shoot.
I mean, it seems to me that you could rent,
get business cards printed up.
Rent a conference room and some Klieg lights or whatever those are, and set up like
a limo.
Get a bunch of people to stand around.
Remember, this is porn after all. We're not talking $100 million budgets. I think if you have a garage in Sherman Oaks. And a couple,
Aren't there some sort of acting classes that are full of porn stars? Like a certain kind.
How to take it across the chops?
Yeah, I mean, I don't know if I'd want to take that class, but maybe I could, come for 5 minutes.
The method of acting approach to taking a fist up the dumper. Sir John Feelgood would be leading the class.
I was hoping you were going to mention Pearl Necklace at some point. Are you sitting? For a minute, I just looked over at her producer, and I thought that she was shrugging her breast. It was really weird because her shirt's sort of open.
No, that was a finger.
Unfortunately, I think we're out of time.
Oh, man, you're right.
So
I don't even have time to make my Sir John buried more crack.
No, I think you did have enough time to make it.
Caller, thank you so much for calling.
I may have to call again because I'm not sure I resolved my issue.
Oh, please do. Call next week, and all of our listeners, please listen in next week at Tuesday at 11. We are out of time. Thank you for calling. Thank you, DJ Sexopolis, for listening.
Dr. Sexopolis.
And thank you all for tuning in. And, you'll hear part 2 of my painful sexual story next week, maybe, or maybe we'll have a guest.
Hopefully. I'm working on a really great guest, actually.
Yeah, whatever. Good night.